Shall we pray? Shall we pray? Dear Lord, as we come now to your word, may you guide us and lead us. This may be a familiar passage, but we pray, Lord, that we may gain something new and enlightening from you to know your love and your care and your humanity, Lord. Amen. I was just thinking, sort of, when Trevor was saying about how bad the start going to be because you have nothing yet. We'll see it. Right. I would normally be out the back with Sparks with some young people, with some helpers to help me out. But this morning we thought we'd put you under the stress and listen to it as well. So can you imagine you are a young teenager? I've got looks of faces of people thinking that's a hard question to ask for. But we are all children in God. And we are hoping to learn things anew from what he has put in for us. Now, for the Sparks, we go through a series called Go Teach, which goes through the Bible in 4 years, roughly. That's all the main stories. So this story you're going to hear today is going to be one you know quite easy, but I'll try and get something new out of it. Before we start that, can we have a think about different social divisions, how people change a bit? I was going to open it up, but I'm sure some of you are too shy to do it. So I've got a few in front of me. We've got colour, black and white, yellow and whatever other colour you think of. You're thinking, we're not going to cross, are we? But social divides can be broken down. We think rich and poor. Thinking, well, I'm not mixing with that because he doesn't earn as much as I do. But world comes into everything. We decide divisions. How about educated, uneducated? I've been to Oxford and you've only been to a comprehensive. Yeah. So we can think about people doing things, but we're going to try and think how Jesus broke down divisions how everybody really is equal, which we are. Let's turn to Gospel of John. And chapter 4. I'm reading for the NIV, so sometimes it might be a bit different from I know what other people have got in front of them. So starting at verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. So Jesus is traveling around. But he took an unusual route for a Jew. Because now he had gone through Samaria. Now the Jews and the Samaritans did not mix very well. In fact, a Jew would go out of his way not to go through Samaria. So isn't it a strange thing that Jesus, a Jew, would go through Samaria? He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to the son of Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, he sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So this is showing now Jesus' humanity. He's tired, he's had a long day, going through, and he rested by the well. There's debates on what time of day it is, but we think it could be the Roman calendar, which means it's about 6 o'clock at night. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. Now, this is going to be really weird. Divisions. It's highly unlikely that a Jewish man would talk to a lady in public. It's very unlikely that a Jew would talk to a Samaritan. So there's divisions being destroyed instantly now. And to show Jesus' humanity, he's thirsty. He wants a drink. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. how can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. Also in there, I mean, if you go into the Israel area where Jesus has been preaching, everybody knows him. There's crowds going around. Now, I read into this that this Samaritan lady didn't know who Jesus was. And his story had not gone over. But Jesus, instead of meeting this big crowd of people, he's just met one person. He was cared for one person. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." But living water won't be water at the well, which is going to get soon, but it's the spirit, the living water, the life of what he's going to give. So you can imagine the Samaritans, even though I looked it up, they will believe in the first five books of the Bible, and it stops. And it stops then, and they've limited to then. They did not see the final bit of the story. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." So obviously you must bring your own bucket to draw the well. They've identified this well, and in 1935 they found the well and tried to excavate it. It's 138 feet deep. So I don't think you can put your hand in a ladle and grab it out. So Jesus is asking this lady for this water. But she's always listening to what Jesus was saying. He says, "Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as he did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up for eternal life." Someone to look through and search. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." I don't think she quite really understand what Jesus was trying to get over to her. He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." Nice simple question to ask. But the Samaritan lady says, "I have no husband," she replied. But Jesus knows everything inside. He knows all things. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you said is quite true." Now also in these days, the act of divorce wasn't allowed. So we're thinking, well, except for circumstances. So it's unlikely that she's been through five husbands, shall we say, legally, justly. So, but Jesus could see through all. And he couldn't think any decisions on that one because he knew the person inside. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. But is it really?" Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming where you will worship the Father neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they have the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. Now we know that's true, because as you know, we're worshipping God today, and to my knowledge, we're not in Jerusalem. We are where God has put us here. We're not limited to a building, even though it's a nice building to be in sometimes, about the leaks that we can see down the back. But we are placed where God wants us, and we can worship anywhere. We can, in purpose and in truth, to God. The woman said, "I know the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." So she knew she was seeking. Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." He defines who he was. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want? Why are you talking to her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Their gospel spread by word of mouth. People willing to, this woman was willing to say, "I've seen a man who could tell me everything." I'm talking to myself as well now. How many times do we not go out and talk and say to everybody? I know I don't, and I know how much I should do. But this lady was so excited about what Jesus had said to her, that he went forward. And we jump now to verse 39. We continue the story of this Samaritan lady. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed with them for 2 days. And because of his words, many became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." Before them, they had knowledge of this man that was talking in the town square. But they put it to the test and went to listen to what he was saying. And instead of seeing the hearsay of the lady, they knew for certain who Jesus was. Now that would be halfway through a Sparks night, morning. Then to reinforce what we've learned, some people do, we have a worksheet. I've got a few here, so if anybody wants to see what we're up to at the back, please feel free to see me and have one. I know among young people do enjoy bits and pieces, if it's a word search or a crossword, it retested their brains. So, shall we end with a word of prayer? Shall we pray? Dear Lord, thank you that in your life, in your world, in your believing, there is no divisions. We are all one in you. And as we come now to you, may we know your true love and your care. Help us not to have that head knowledge of the townspeople before they met Jesus. Help us to search out and to find him, to find you, and to learn more of you, and to know of the eternal living water that you can give us, Lord. Help our spirit